What's up, baby? Can I buy you a fish sandwich? What's going on? What's up, fools? This is the QTR Podcast. It's June 27th, 2018. I haven't done a podcast on my own, I don't think, in like more than 2 weeks, which is crazy because I was doing them at a pretty consistent clip prior to that. So stoked to be back. I was on vacation for a week. And then basically was just lazy for the week after that. So I don't know what to tell you. Although I did do a great interview with Ross Gerber a couple days ago, which I would encourage you to check out. It's my podcast prior to this one. But also too, you know, since I've been back, there hasn't really been anything that has gotten me motivated enough to come on and do a podcast. And the last thing that you want me to do, trust me, is come on here with nothing to say and start talking in fucking circles, and that's like a win-win for nobody. Nobody wins. Well, it's not a win-win. It's a lose-lose. It's a win-win for nobody. It's a lose-lose for everybody. Just stay with me here, folks, all right? Please keep your seats. By the way, if this is your first time listening to the QTR podcast, we have a strict two-drink minimum policy, and so if you are not adhering to that, I don't really care what time of the day it is, 6 o'clock in the morning, getting ready for work on a Wednesday. I need you to go ahead and pause this and or table it until you can go mainline a couple shots of Sambuca, then come back and join me. I want to make sure that we're all on the same wavelength here today. That's important before you get things started. And also, nothing I say is investment advice or any type of advice, and really I have no idea what I'm talking about. Having said all of that, I finally did find something that pissed me off enough today to do a podcast, and that is the campaign promises of this woman who just won a seat for Congress, which, by the way, this woman's name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She ran for U.S. Congress in New York's 14th District, and the very first thing I will say is it is an incredible and remarkable achievement to win a congressional seat. It is, first and foremost, because I don't like to talk shit about things that I cannot and will not do. And I will probably never run for Congress, despite constantly joking that I might. And it is an intense and insanely grueling process. And this woman, unseated something like a 10-term incumbent. I can't remember the details off the top of my head, but somebody who outspent her, I think, by a margin of 10 to 1. And sure as shit, she won this congressional seat in New York, which is a remarkable, remarkable achievement. So up front, that needs to be said. And that is, it's, like I said, it's exceptional. And she comes off as somebody who is very bright and very intelligent, and she's an activist, and she's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, and, you know, I'm sure she's a fine person. I don't have any beef with her personally at all. I'm sure she's a fantastic person. I'm sure she's very smart. What I take exception with is the platform that she ran on. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'd see today I posted a document that was being handed out as part of her campaign, and as people running for elected office do, it sums up her position on a lot of different issues. So first, what I'll do is I'll just read you a little blurb that CNN posted yesterday after she won. It reads, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a 28-year-old Latina running her first campaign, ousted 10-term incumbent Representative Joe Crowley in New York's 14th Congressional District on Tuesday, CNN projects, in the most shocking upset of a rollicking political season. Right off the bat, just so you know, I am pro anybody who is on their 10th term being thrown out of office. Otherwise, we're going to wind up with a whole fucking Congress full of Mitch McConnells. And I just can't, I can't do it. I can't stand the sight of them. I can't stand listening to them. I got some shit on Twitter today, some advertisement, you know, election season coming around. Are you on Team Mitch? It's like, oh my God, the picture of his sorry ass face on the Senate floor trying to argue for whatever his donors are lobbying him for. I can't stand Mitch McConnell. I really can. He's up there. Ted Cruz, I think, is my least favorite politician, which is weird because there's some things I agree with him on, but I don't even think he is. Like, I think Rand Paul is a legitimate libertarian. I think his father was a legitimate libertarian through and through. Not only did he understand the platform, but he put his money where his mouth is and he voted accordingly. And Ted Cruz is like this fake, just comes off like this fake fucking Tea Party guy that, you know, he's under the guise of going out and protecting the Constitution is going to pull all the same scummy shit that a lot of other politicians have. So look, the point is I can't stand Ted Cruz or Mitch McConnell. So this isn't a partisan statement about this woman's platform. This is just, anyways, so she ousted a 10-term incumbent, which I fully support, by the way. And I just want to say again, I think it's an incredible achievement what this woman has done. So the article continues, an activist and member of the Democratic Socialists of America, Ocasio-Cortez won over voters in the minority-majority district with a ruthlessly efficient grassroots bid, even as Crowley, the fourth-ranking Democrat in the House, outraised her by a 10-to-1 margin. I like that, too. I support that. There is plenty to be proud of when you are outraised 10-to-1 by a 10-term incumbent and you take them down. That's badass, no matter what platform you're running on or who you are. That says that you can get out there and you can rally the troops. So the article continues, this was the first time in 14 years a member of his own party has attempted to unseat Crowley, who chairs the Queens County Democrats. His defeat marks a potential sea change in the broader sphere of liberal politics, a result with implications for Democrats nationwide that would recall, as optimistic progressives routinely noted during the campaign, former GOP majority leader Eric Cantor's loss to the insurgent, Tea Party-backed Dave Brat in June 2014. This is not an end. This is the beginning. This is the beginning because the message that we sent the world tonight is that it's not okay to put donors before your community, Ocasio-Cortez told roaring supporters on Tuesday night. Hey, I get behind that too. Look, I don't support socialism. I don't think it makes sense, and that's kind of what I have some beef with here, which I'll be talking about. But I like that message. I like putting the community before donors. That makes a lot of sense to me. But what doesn't make sense to me are some of the issues that, and like I said, if you follow me on Twitter, you notice that I put up a campaign document of hers with her stance on issues. And it is as follows. Medicare for all, medicine, vision, dental, and mental health care for everybody. All right? Ostensibly, that's going to be provided by the government. So right there, you try to implement that on a national scale, it's near impossible. And if it happens, it's going to cost $1 trillion or some ridiculous amount of money. Universal jobs guarantee. So she wants to guarantee that you're going to have a job. Now, to her, that might seem like ideologically a great idea. But think about what would happen if... Let me just stop here again real quick, because I mentioned this on a previous podcast. Peter Schiff did a great job talking about this universal jobs guarantee when Bernie Sanders first proposed it. So if you haven't listened to the Peter Schiff podcast, I would go and I would check that out. And I think the episode is entitled something like Universal Jobs or Bernie Sanders' Proposal for Universal Jobs. And he does a great job breaking that down. And one more thing I want to say before I get into talking about why this idea is insane is that Bernie Sanders could have won as the Democrats screwed themselves in this last election. Sanders would have been a much more formidable opponent against Trump than Hillary was. And I'll tell you why. Politically, I guess I would, if I went just on the issues, I would say I probably have more in common with Hillary because she's a bit more moderate than Bernie Sanders. But, and there's things about both of them that I don't agree with at all. There's some things that I would side with Hillary and Bernie on. There's some things I would side with Trump on. But Hillary Clinton had this aura of just being so formulaic and saying and trying and doing, being so evident to everybody that she would do anything and say anything necessary to win the election. Plus, never mind the fact that she pretty much rigged the Democratic primaries. She worked with the DNC to ensure that she would be the candidate ahead of Bernie Sanders. The point I'm trying to get at here is, while I don't agree with Sanders on a lot of fiscal issues, what I will say is, as a person, I far preferred Bernie Sanders to Hillary Clinton, because I got the impression from Bernie Sanders that even though politically I didn't really agree with him on a lot of things, he was generally a person of character. If you asked me who I thought was more of an honest person, Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, the answer would be Bernie Sanders all day. And this is like comparing Ron Paul to Ted Cruz. I think Ron Paul has integrity. I think Ron Paul is honest. I think he's loyal to his convictions. And I think Ted Cruz can be bought. And I think he's a shill. And I think he's dickless. And I think he's, I don't know, I just don't like him. So I just get that impression from him. Maybe I'm wrong. But in the case of Sanders versus Clinton, Sanders came off as the far more honest and genuine individual, politics aside. I mean, when Bernie Sanders got on stage and he was speaking about the issues, whether or not you agreed with him, you at least knew that it was coming from Bernie Sanders' brain and not something some fucking focus group or some advisors plopped down in front of him before the debate and said that you need to say this, this, and this. Remember, like Marco Rubio, you know, this is what I'm talking about. President Obama knows exactly what he's doing. President Obama knows exactly what he's doing. You know, and then Chris Christie said, hey, he's reading things off of a script. And then Marco Rubio retorted with, let's get past this preconceived notion that President Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's like, you look like a fucking moron, Rubio. Like, you fucking idiot. Use your brain. Use your brain. I mean, I really don't give a fuck about Marco Rubio. I actually prefer Chris Christie to Marco Rubio, even though there's a lot of things I don't like about both of them. But at least I know Chris Christie, when he was up there speaking, was generating some or at least most of his content directly from his brain and not from his fucking notes. And that was the problem with Clinton and Sanders, was Bernie Sanders got up there and he was speaking, you know, his truth, his gospel, right? Democratic socialist. He doesn't hide behind it. The guy's a fucking socialist. I mean, that's his thing. That's his shtick. He sticks by his guns. He goes up there and he, you know, lobbies for the changes that he wants. And he does it because he's Bernie Sanders. And he was, you know, an independent. And that's what has won him respect from his local constituents. And that's what's won him respect as a person, even from many people that are Republicans and many people that are on the far right. Much prefer Bernie Sanders to Hillary Clinton. Specifically because, you know, people can smell bullshit a million miles away. And at least this guy was sticking with his convictions. So anyways, all of this ties back to this woman, Ocasio-Cortez, who, again, what I was saying is, I think she truly believes that all of this shit that she is pitching and fighting for is possible. But there needs to be a look at what it would cost. And that is the problem. She won this election because she ran on a very, very far left platform, which included, circling back now to what I was saying, a universal jobs guarantee. Now, without going into this in detail, this is a horrible, horrible idea. If you guarantee people jobs, so anyways, her platform is Medicare, jobs, fully funded public schools and universities, paid family and sick leave, and housing, all provided by the government. This is a great way to bankrupt our country in more than one way. You can't go and guarantee everybody jobs. It's first thing it does is it creates an artificial demand for jobs in the marketplace. So you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to produce demand from somewhere. And this is typical Keynesian idiocy. This is analogous to creating jobs where one guy digs up a hole and the other guy comes behind him and fills it up. It's just jobs for the sake of jobs. And in addition to these jobs probably not being jobs that contribute directly to productivity, it creates a false demand for jobs. So it's going to fuck up the works in the labor market in a big way. So the Fed has already come in, or the government rather, has, the government and the Fed collectively have already come in and fucked up the bond market. And my guess would be is that they're fucking with the equity market too. But now they want to go in, they want to fuck up the labor market. So the labor market used to be a free market. When jobs are in demand, people fill those needs. If people can't go out and get jobs, they go, they acquire skills in order to be more attractive to employers. And employers can bid for certain people, certain individuals with high skill sets, low skill sets, whatever, at certain rates of pay. And people that are aggressive and want to go out and find jobs can choose whatever offer they would like. It's an auction, just like buying and selling stock. There's a price one person's willing to sell, and there's a price one person's willing to buy. And that's how the labor market works on a very, very simple scale. But when you come in and you create artificially a bunch of demand for jobs that doesn't exist, you wind up with a story like that theater that just closed in Albany, I think, or in Syracuse. Let me see if I can find it here. But here's what happens when you, here it is. Here's what happens when you create demand that doesn't exist, okay? This is an article in the New York Times from June 1st about a $15 million film hub that the government paid, basically a film studio outside of Syracuse that the government paid for some years back. It just sold for $1. Here's the lead to the story. A $15 million state-built film studio outside Syracuse, which promised to produce hundreds of jobs and bring Hollywood's glitter to central New York, hit an inglorious milestone on Friday with its sale to a new corporation set up by the county that manages it. The price? $1. The flop of the Central New York Film Hub, built by frequent and generous donors to Governor Cuomo, who are facing federal corruption charges, had been presaged almost since its announcement in 2014 when the governor wandered allowed the miracle of the concept. Who would have ever figured Hollywood comes to Onondaga County, right? Mr. Cuomo said. You never would have guessed, but it has. And it's like, no, it fucking didn't, which is exactly why the thing just sold for $1. Okay? You can't put Hollywood into central New York. I've been to central New York. I've been to Albany. I've been to Syracuse. I've been to Cortland. There's fucking nothing going on. It's the last place in the world that anyone that's associated with Hollywood would want to go. People don't want to go anywhere else in New York but Manhattan. You remember when Willis McGahee got traded to the Buffalo Bills like a million years ago? He was in Miami, and I remember he went to the Bills and they like interviewed him. And by the way, I used to live outside of Buffalo, so I know there's fucking nothing going on in Buffalo either. But they interviewed him for some paper, and they're like, hey, Willis, what do you think of Buffalo? And he's like, well, there's nothing to do. He's like, I just spend most nights at home playing Xbox. He's like, it's very different from Miami. It's like, yeah, Buffalo is to Miami what putting a film theater in Cortland or Albany or Syracuse is to Hollywood. Nobody from fucking Hollywood is going to central New York. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. But the government thinks it's a good idea. Here, we'll spend $15 million on this. It'll create jobs. It's like, no, morons. Fucking jobs are created by genuine demand. You can't just go and open a film studio in the middle of bumblefuck and expect everything to work out. I mean, that's insane. You can't go to the Meadowlands in New York and set up a shop to buy Dallas Cowboys gear. You can't go to the Arctic and set up an ice cream stand. Well, that's okay. We're building the largest ice cream factory of its kind here in Antarctica. Antarctica has no ice cream factories at all. Okay? There's no business here. And we get all the fucking ice for free. We open the door, there's more ice than we know what to do with. We'll be making fucking ice cream, snow cones, anything that's frozen, really. So our cost of goods is going to be very minimal. We're going to open up a huge factory. It's going to employ 10,000 people right off the bat. And the government's paying for it. We're going to open it up. We're going to open the doors. Cost of goods is going to be low. And we're going to be running the largest ice cream factory in all of Antarctica. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the government. That type of thinking makes sense to people in the government. It's like, no, there's nobody there to buy the product. And even if there was, nobody wants to... Ooh, little Delco accent coming out there. Even if there was, nobody would be eating fucking ice cream in Antarctica. My Philly Delco accent just keeps sneaking out because I keep watching this incredible commercial by a local car dealer where the guy's like, nobody knows Ram trucks better than Bergies. And I'm like, oh my God, that's just the filthiest Delco accent I've ever heard. Anyways, back to this idea that providing jobs is going to be some type of solution. This is just going to create more problems. It's going to waste more money. And think about this. And Peter Schiff said something like this on his podcast. I mean, what keeps you going to work? It's the idea that you're going to be able to earn some money, but also you stay productive because you don't want to get fired. You want job security. Well, when the job security is provided, there's no reason for you to go in and do anything. So if you're provided a job by the government at your local Applebee's as a chef, what is to stop you from going into the walk-in cooler and just sucking all the nitrous out of a bunch of whipped cream cans instead of actually standing on the grill and trying to get Mrs. Johnson's burger somewhere between medium and medium rare because she doesn't really know what she wants and she's being very specific with the waitress who has put in a special order request and wants you to meticulously take care of this one burger that probably means less to you than anything has ever meant to you in your entire life. There's no motivation at all to go in and to be productive when the government is guaranteeing your jobs. Well, yes, we're going to have drug testing. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. We're going to make sure people are productive. That's just more shit to monitor. That's just going to cost more money. How about this? Why don't you let jobs occur as a result of a healthy economy and not something that the government is fucking with? It's already bad enough that the government's fucking basically with the entire economy by just printing a ton of money and convincing us that our dollar losing 2% annually in purchasing power is some sort of genius idea. Things are already being fucked with enough. Leave the labor market alone. I don't trust the numbers you're giving me to begin with. Everything about it is fishy. And now this woman wants to give you a universal jobs guarantee. This is a terrible idea. I mean, applied to some other type of theory, it's a lovely thought, and I don't know how Miss Ocasio-Cortez is thinking about this. It's a nice thought, you know, if we live in a utopia where there's no rules, but if we're going to be a capitalist country, this is probably the worst possible thing that you could do. It's going to reduce productivity. It's going to reduce motivation for people to go and acquire new skills. So nobody that needs to go out and get a job, just think about this. If the minimum wage is $20 and the government's guaranteeing you a job, what motivation does anybody have to better themselves? Be productive at work. Go to a tech school. Go to a vocational school. Go to a college. Go to a university. Learn their craft. Become an apprentice. There's no motivation to do any of that. We'll all just be sitting around fucking dropping fries in the fryer and collecting our $20 an hour that we're guaranteed by the government. Working when we feel like it, not working when we don't feel like it. It doesn't make sense. Next, fully funded public schools and universities. Look, college isn't for everybody. And this says, plus taxing Wall Street to support tuition-free public universities and trade schools. Look, taxing Wall Street is a very vague answer to fully funding public schools and universities. Having said that, I know there are a lot of rich fucks out there. And by the way, in terms of, you know, prosperity, I have very little. I got a car. I have a little condo. That's about it. You know, I've worked for those things, but I'm not some billionaire defending other billionaires, but what I do think is taxing somebody 50% or 60% and penalizing them and forcing them to pay more in taxes just because they've been successful doesn't encourage people to want to continue to be successful. It encourages them to stop earning and to go and further tax Wall Street. There's some things on Wall Street I would probably be in favor of taxing, and there's other things that I would not be in favor of taxing. With that being said, just making a blanket statement that you're going to come out and further tax the rich, at some point, I mean, what happens when the rich is taxed 75%, 80%, 90%? What happens? We ramp that lever as far up as it'll go. Everybody becomes unmotivated to go out and earn more because the government's just going to fucking take all their money. So the reward for being productive goes down. And then the government has officially, after it has discouraged people to go out and earn more, has run out of room. I mean, like I said, we're already, the rich are already being taxed 50% or 60%. Relative to your income, that's a lot of money. Yes, I understand the argument that some people make $20,000 a year and live below the poverty line. I get it. And that people who make $5 billion a year, that 50% is not a soul-crushing amount of money for them. But in theory, it doesn't make any sense. But as the government promises and promises and promises things like this, schools, universities, housing, jobs, it has to pay for it. And what better way to juice the top line than to tax people more? But at some point, this all becomes counterintuitive, counterproductive. Housing is a human right. Safe, secure, habitable, and affordable homes. Everybody's guaranteed a house, everybody's guaranteed a job, and everybody's guaranteed a college education. Well, what do you think the demand for all those things is going to be if that's the situation? Do you think employers will give the same preference towards people with a college education then as they do now? No, because everybody's going to have one. And they'll have known that regardless of your situation or what you went to school for, that you were pretty much given your college degree by the government. And so maybe you weren't motivated to go out and learn whatever your major was on your own. But it's no longer going to become, it's not going to become an asset anymore when everybody has one. So running on this platform of Medicare for all, guaranteed jobs, fully funded public schools and universities, paid family and sick leave, housing as a human right, infrastructure overhaul. She wants to overhaul the country's infrastructure, invest in 100% renewable green energy. Well, that's a lovely statement. But fiscally, does that make sense? To implement everything that she's calling for on this sheet of paper on a national level would cost trillions. Trillions. And so, ideologically, it makes sense. And look, she's a member of the Democratic Socialist Party. So she wants the government to do all this shit. I mean, I guess if you think that capitalism doesn't work, this might be appealing to you. But I would argue that when you substitute socialism for capitalism, you wind up with Greece, or you wind up with any of these other countries that has just, you know, been in austerity and economic crisis over the last decade. And it's happening globally. And everything's out of control at these places. Taxes are super high. Unemployment is super high. And the entire economic machine kind of grinds to a halt. And those are roads that lead to things like people leaving the country, real austerity and panic, hyperinflation, and serious problems that on a global scale could have catastrophic consequences if it happened here in the United States. Now, I'm not saying this woman is going to single-handedly bring all of this on. But promising all of these things, or saying she's fighting, she's not promising them, so I'll correct myself there. This says fighting for. She's fighting for Medicare for all. She's fighting for a universal jobs guarantee, fully funded public schools and universities, paid family and sick leave, housing as a human right. And from what I understand, her district is a little bit lower on the socioeconomic food chain. So these things probably make a lot of sense to her constituents, except they're not going to be implemented. And if they are, that doesn't make them the right idea. I mean, she could provide, say she went out and could provide everybody in her district with a job. That might improve quality of life for people in her district, but it will have a net overall negative effect on the local economy, because she'll be fabricating employment out of nowhere. And you'll have, you know, there's no motivation there. There's no motivation there for people to go out and to do a good job. So it will just fuck up the works even further. And when the government tries to step in and supply everybody with a house by allowing them to not put money down and offering all these concessions, what happens is you get a housing bubble. And then the price of housing drops for those who went out and bought houses legitimately, because everybody owns one and there's no market, or the market is fabricated. So that doesn't make sense. When you fully fund universities, the value of having a university education goes down, because everybody has one. People are just encouraged to go to college because it's there, even though it's not for everybody. And somebody has to pay the teachers. Somebody has to pay to put people in the classroom. And if the government doesn't have the money to pay for quality education, it's going to be an even bigger waste of time and waste of resources, because students won't be getting anything of quality or anything of value. They'll just be showing up, getting their diploma, and leaving. So I want to congratulate Miss Ocasio-Cortez for her victory, which is remarkable. But I think that this platform is insane. And there is nothing on this sheet of paper that talks about how she's going to pay for it, other than the very vague taxing Wall Street statement that she makes. There's nothing on here about how she's going to pay for it. And I could see how all these things appeal, possibly, to voters. Shit, they appeal to me. I'd like to do fuck all and have a job and have a house. But, and medicine, vision, dental, and mental health care. I'd like to go to acupuncture 3 days a week and get massaged twice a week and have the government pay for that. But at some point, what happens? I mean, the people that provide these services, they start hiking up their prices. Why? Because they know the government's paying for it. Then you wind up with another bubble. You wind up with, I mean, it's just, it is one bad decision that compounds after another. And there's no market. And when the market becomes manipulated by the government, everything fucking goes out of whack. So here, look, she does say end the war on drugs. I support that. So just as a closing note, I'm not against everything here. I think that drugs are a mental health issue. I do not think they're a criminal issue. So I support her there. And I do support her with ending the corruption influence of corporate finance and public elections. I think that's out of control. So I agree with her there. But having said that, this woman won on many of these promises that she probably won't be able to deliver. And if she does, or we tried to deliver them on any sort of scale, would ultimately be a net negative for her local economy, the state economy, and if you scale it up, the national economy. So, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, congratulations on your win. But I think it's time to rethink some of your policies before you get in office if you want any hope of getting things done and being productive. And if you're listening, would love to have you on the podcast. You're more than welcome to call in anytime if you want to get in touch with me. Having said that, I am on my way out of here. I have a couple of fantastic podcasts lined up for the next couple of weeks. But it's good to be back. It's nice to have you guys with me. And I sincerely hope that you guys have an awesome Wednesday night. Talk to you soon. Peace.